Glimbo files likely. It is highly unlikely that there were large stockpiles of deployed militarized chemical and biological weapons there.
As I walk beneath the valley, I shall fear no evil. Cause thanks to King George and his rainbow cabinet, today murder is legal. God, I know that it's wrong.
I'm on the phone with Mary Foster from Block the Empire, a group who is organizing a demonstration here in Montreal on June the 30th, the day that America hands Iraq over to America. Maybe we can start off just by talking a bit about this demonstration, if you could let us know what's being planned on that day and why.
Yeah, we're planning folks together at around 1 o'clock outside the main gates of McGill University on Sherbrooke. And then we'll be heading to some of the corporations and other institutions around Montreal that are involved in the occupation of Iraq. The idea being to really expose the fact that there's quite a bit of involvement locally in what's going on in Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, politically, the Americans might be turning power over to Iraq on that day. But why is the fact that there's still a lot of corporate involvement there in the West, Western corporate involvement, why is that a significant point here for this demonstration?
Well, the U.S. will be maintaining significant political control over Iraq, as in addition to keeping its troops there. So there'll be military and political control. And as well, there'll be some fairly overt economic control. For example, there will be a retention of some of the oil revenues in the hands of the Americans, which will put a short leash on that government there. But in addition, there's a much more subtle economic control that's being established, which will be, in the long run, probably the most significant form of control. What the White House seems to be intent on doing is slotting the Iraqi country into the global economy in a very dependent position. It's doing that by privatizing a lot of the industries, by changing the laws of the country. That's what they've been doing over the past year, in a way which allows foreign companies to come in and control the resources and much of the economy of that country, which means for the long run, Iraqis will not, for any real purposes, have control of their company over their country.
You mentioned just there that the corporate involvement was going to be one that was subtle. Do you think that after June the 30th that the Americans will be having a subtle presence in Iraq?
I just meant it was more subtle than the other forms of control. The other forms of control are so incredibly blatant, such as the fact that a substantial military presence will remain in Iraq, and they're planning to keep that there. In addition, as I said, there's direct control over some oil revenues that's being planned. There's other ways in which the U.S. will be maintaining significant political influence in quite an open way. But the corporate invasion, the economic reconfiguration that's going on is more difficult for people to see in a capitalist world, but it's no less significant. It's as I said, probably the most significant way in which control will be assured over that country in the long run.
Do you see a link between the Americans maintaining a military presence there and a corporate presence?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can see the level of resistance in the country to this happening is very strong. Certainly the people who are fighting the occupation forces in Iraq right now have not failed to pick up on the fact that the economic control is significant, and you can see that in the fact that they're targeting not just military targets, but they're targeting so-called reconstruction companies. The military, therefore, is needed in order to maintain control over the situation, to maintain what's, you know, on that side is called security, so that this so-called reconstruction, which, you know, you could refer to as just an expansion of the capitalist economy into Iraq.
Now, the march that Block the Empire is organizing on June the 30th is going to put the focus on a few different companies here in Montreal. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could mention some of those companies and what their involvement has been thus far in Iraq.
Yeah. We're in our call-out, we've invited people to organize autonomous actions around, I think, 8 or 9 different corporations or government offices in Montreal, and we've selected those to show the variety of ways in which Iraq is being subjugated. There are companies like which are essentially American companies, but which have an office here, which are very doing very significant reconstructing of Iraq's economy. There's Bearing Point, which is a company that received the contract to reconstruct essentially the financial infrastructure of the country. It's supposed to advise the government on how to redo trade laws, business laws, in a way, you know, obviously what it's being treated as a purely technical question, was in fact these are questions are pretty basic to how a society conducts itself, and yet this whole set of questions are being treated as something purely technical that can be farmed out and decided upon, advised upon by a private American firm. Very interesting. Bechtel's another company that's really very well known. Bearing Point, by the way, is a consultancy firm. Bechtel is a well-known engineering firm. They, as everyone knows, won 2 big contracts to rebuild Iraq, and they've been subcontracting a lot of that out. They're a champion of privatization worldwide, and that's of course what they're involved in Iraq as well. There's another office, Chubb Insurance. Of course, without the insurance companies in the current environment in Iraq, no corporation could afford to take the kind of risk. So these kind of insurance companies are extremely important for underwriting the ability of private companies to go to places like Iraq. Interestingly, there's a company, Computer Sciences Corporation, which sounds really benign, but it's actually the owner of DynCorp, which is one of the world's largest private military companies. DynCorp has a pretty nasty track record. It won the contract in Iraq to provide what's called law enforcement support. They're supposed to be reestablishing the police and the prison systems in what they call post-conflict Iraq. So that's very interesting that they're busy setting up policing and prison structures in Iraq. Then we have companies who are much closer to home, like SNC-Lavalin, one of Quebec's very important companies, which we've tried to make the links in all of these between not only what's going on in Iraq, but the very same similar processes that are going on here. SNC-Lavalin is another big champion of privatization worldwide, and it's also engaged in Charest's re-engineering project of the state in Quebec, and it's, you know, involving itself in the privatization of water here and other essential services. SNC is also the company which signed a big contract with Algeria in 2002, which on some people's analysis was one of the reasons that Canada decided to whitewash Algeria's human rights record and lift the moratorium on the deportation of non-status Algerians here, which led to the expulsion of people like Mohamed Shurfi. SNC-Lavalin in Iraq, it's said that it's bidding on contracts there, on reconstruction contracts, engineering contracts, that would probably be under Bechtel. It's also now part of a consortium which is bidding on a bullet contract for Iraq with General Dynamics. It's bidding to supply the Department of Defense with bullets for their operations in Iraq. Apparently, so many bullets are being used that no one company can supply them anymore.
So you mentioned at least one Canadian company in there, mm-hmm. but I mean, one thing we might hear often is that there isn't an overt Canadian corporate involvement in Iraq. But how eager would you say that Canadian companies are to jump on board to the privatization process there now?
Well, they've shown pretty considerable interest. I mean, by the end of by May, about 70 companies had already registered with Bechtel by May of last year. So that was very shortly after the invasion. About 70 Canadian companies registered with Bechtel to express their interest in getting subcontracts. That's pretty significant. In addition, a lot of Canadian companies under a Canadian flag were present at the recent reconstruction conference, but it was a conference basically where you could meet with contractors or looking for subcontractors. So Canada was there present officially with quite a large number of Canadian companies, including companies like Nortel, who, you know, here's a trivia thing, they formerly were, their partners in the Middle East was Bin Laden Telecommunications Inc., which was, I think, founded by the famous Bin Laden's father. Anyway, that's just trivia. I don't know what the political content of that is, but nevertheless, Nortel did say that it was trying to bid on contracts there. Other companies, Safety Boss, a lot of companies involved in the oil industry in Calgary around there, Talisman Oil, apparently has expressed interest in getting contracts in Iraq. Then some companies we know have actually gotten contracts there. There's ATCO, AMEC, which was with Fluor awarded a power reconstruction contract. It's a Toronto-based company, and they, I mean, it sounds very benign. Oh yeah, reestablishing power in Iraq. But then you can start asking, well, why a Canadian company? What happened to the Iraqi engineers? You know, it's not like there's any shortage of Iraqi engineers. And then you can also ask, well, how are they doing it? And of course, what they're doing is pursuing a kind of privatization of some of these essential services, which is going to further, expand the capitalist system into Iraq and entrench it there as well. So that's just some of the companies that are involved there. They are being quiet. Canadian companies do seem to be being quiet about their interest. Not quite sure why. I guess, you know, it's pretty unpopular in Canada. Probably also the security situation in Iraq is something else. In addition, there's some question about the legality of contracts that the occupation forces are awarding in Iraq. That's actually even up on Canadian Foreign Affairs website is a little warning that contracts they get with the occupation forces might actually not be legal, which is pretty interesting, and maybe why some of them are being a bit quiet about it in case something happens a bit later on.
Now, we've been talking a lot about the corporate activities of these companies, but maybe you could speak a bit to how you feel a privatized Iraq would look like from the eyes of the impoverished Iraqi people.
Well, I mean, it's interesting to say that because there were some people doing work on that from Canada in Iraq, and it wasn't a question. Privatization just was a non-question for people that they spoke to. They didn't care. They needed, you know, really, really, really basic things like security, ability to go out of your house without risk of getting shot or blown up or something, water, power. So, yeah, I mean, for us, looking at it from the outside, we can say this is terrible for people in Iraq that these people we're talking to, or I should say at least the people in Baghdad, that just wasn't something that was discussed. It wasn't a discourse that was particularly interesting to people. or which people we're familiar with. So what will that look like to impoverish people? I don't know. The situation is so incredibly horrible right now for the most marginalized of the marginalized, having passed through these years of incredible oppression under this, you know, for a large part of his career, Western-backed, fairly brutal dictator, passing, you know, in addition to sanctions on top of that, passing now into this occupation, which is increasingly contested by fighters in Iraq. It's a brutal situation, and maybe that's a bit of a far question for what people are currently living, especially people who don't have access to resources or power.
From what you know, what are some of the immediate interests of Iraqis under the occupation right now?
Peace. No, really basic things. Not having your door, not being afraid that your door is going to be burst into in the middle of the night and you're going to get rounded up, or not having fighters that you don't know who they are coming into your neighborhood and launching attacks and then disappearing again so that you get your house, you know, pounded to bits. Pretty basic things for, you know, my very limited understanding of parts of Iraq that I've been able to read or hear first-hand accounts from.
Now, what do you see changing on June the 30th?
I think what the U.S. is going to try and do is shift the burden of the occupation onto a client government, and let's see how that works. You know, I think most of the outside world will accept that. Certainly, the Canadian government is, you know, calling this a transfer of sovereignty, and I think most states will take that line. I think a lot of the newspaper agencies will follow the state line or the corporate line. Certainly, corporations now have an interest in this government. Corporations who are involved in Iraq have an interest in this government succeeding in establishing its legitimacy. In terms of how people in Iraq view it, I would be surprised if a lot of the people in Iraq were at all convinced by this move. Looking at, a government which is now headed by an ex-CIA operative, or an ex-Baathist who's a sort of CIA-backed dissident, now being the head of the country, with other people who were appointed by a council that was appointed by the occupation forces. Now they're saying they're going to lead this up to a democratic election. Well, yeah. We'll see what happens.
Of course, there's a federal election here in Canada just 2 days before this transfer we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Do you see the federal elections affecting Canadian involvement in Iraq at all?
I guess it depends how split the... No, I don't think. I mean, Martin certainly made it very clear that he's very willing to be there. He's been scared of committing Canadian troops, but that might change after if he is reelected. The Conservatives, I think they would probably be happier to contribute troops if that would be wanted. But I'm not sure they're going to take a much different line economically than the Liberals. But maybe I'm not familiar enough with their policy. I don't see a huge difference, no, between those two. I mean, I can see a difference between a strong government and a weak Canadian government. A weak Canadian government perhaps giving voices of dissent to those policies a greater chance. But let's see if that works out.
Maybe to wrap up, what are some of the possibilities of resistance to what's happening in Iraq right now? What are some of the policies, what are some of the possibilities right here at home?
Well, we're hoping that June 30th is not going to be the last action. It's not the first one we've done, but it's also not the last action that's aimed at exposing local involvement in this occupation. And we think that is probably the greatest possibility or opportunity for us to work in a useful way locally against this occupation, as opposed to trying to work through the electoral system, which I think most of us at Black the Empire don't have a lot of interest in or faith in. I don't think we see much opportunity in that realm, but we would see an opportunity in trying to put more direct pressure on some of these companies and trying to disturb and disrupt the businesses that they that they're conducting in this reconstruction or so-called reconstruction effort.
We've been on the phone with Mary Foster from Block the Empire. Thanks for joining us today.
Yep, thanks a lot, Aaron.
God, I wanna be a man, but I don't wanna die with a rifle in my hands. And as the planes black in the sky, it sounds like